while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning to you, church. It's great to be in the house of God. As Monique said, today is the second part of our four-part sermon series called My Phone, My Faith. Last week, we had the first part of the series, which was My Phone, My Faith, A Matter of Community. It's on YouTube or the website if you wanted to have a listen again or if you missed it last week. Pastor started us by giving us a walkthrough of mobile phones, showing us the first model from 1946 right to today, whatever the latest iPhone or Android currently is. All right, so mobile phones have evolved so much since its first model, and because of its connectivity to the internet, it can do pretty much anything these days. So I did a bit of research to find out what people actually use their mobile phones for, and I wanted to share my results with you. So please bear in mind that the reasons that mobile phone was invented is to have a wireless handheld device to make and receive phone calls. So I'm going to show you the order of popularity for mobile phone usages. So, number one, 88% of mobile phone users mainly use it for texting. Number two, 70% of people mainly use it to send and receive emails. Number three, social media usage is 62% of people mainly use it for social media. And then closely followed by using it as a camera. And that's 61% of people that use it that way. 58% of people use it to read the news. Online shopping comes in at 56% of people's usage. Weather checkers, so people check the weather at about 54% of people use it to check the weather. And number eight, 51% of people mainly use it for WhatsApp messages. And I was quite surprised at how low this was, actually, because I thought it would be, you know, right there at the top, but it came in at number eight. People use it, 45% of people use it for banking, paying bills, checking their accounts, etc. And finally, 42% of people mainly use it to watch YouTube videos. Okay. Now, bearing in mind that the phone was invented to make and receive phone calls, yet it is not one of its top 10 uses. It's weird, isn't it? Well, today, as you know, we're looking at mobile phones as a matter of convenience. So I thought I would look again at the most popular use of mobile phones for convenience. And again, I've got the results to share with you this morning. So this is what people have actually reported using their mobile phones for. The first one is taking pictures of a spot on my back. This is real, by the way. It's not made up. Okay. Number two is recording conversations as evidence at work. It gets better. Just hold on. Number three, using the phone as a bottle opener. Uh-huh. Yep. Number four, using it as a hammer. Number five, using it as a bed warmer. Mm-hmm. Number six, using it as a back scratcher. Now, I have to admit, I've done this. I mean, sometimes you just, you know, you need a bit of help. That's number six. People use it as a back scratcher. Number seven, using it as a paperweight. Number 8, and I'm sure someone's done this here, using the reflection to spy on people behind you. You don't have to say whether that's you or not, it's fine. Number 9, using it as a nutcracker. Finally, using it as a chopping board. Yeah. I think there are two really important observations here about people who use their mobile phones. Firstly, it's clear that people don't use their phones for the reasons it was invented. And secondly, some people should just not be allowed to own a mobile phone. Seriously. I mean, why would you use your phone as a bed warmer? Hot water bottle, socks, a jumper, you know? People are very strange. A mobile phone can be used as a tool of convenience. I mean, I use mine, as I'm sure most of you do, for a range of things like paying bills, checking the weather, taking notes, work emails, and so on. I use it because it's quick, easy, and convenient, but that's everything that our faith should not be. Our faith should be the absolute opposite of convenience. It should be a sacrifice. You know, the very basis of our faith is sacrifice. John chapter 10, verse 11 says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Everything that we are and everything that we have is because of that sacrifice. The freedom, joy, peace, hope, forgiveness, favor, protection, all of the blessings that we enjoy is because Jesus died for us. God sacrificed his only son for us. Jesus died so that we may live. Now, there was nothing convenient about God choosing to give up his son. And there was nothing convenient about Jesus saying yes to the will of the Father. The parable of the lost sheep is one of many scriptures that paint a picture of sacrifice. So I'd like us to look at Luke chapter 15 from verse 1 to 7. And it says this. It will come up on the screen so you can follow as I read. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering to hear Jesus, gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Now, amongst the tax collectors and the sinners, I'm sure there would have been shepherds, farmers, people from the agricultural industry sitting there thinking, is this guy okay? Now, bringing it to today, none of us here need to be farmers or shepherds or have any sort of qualification to look at this scripture and think, how does that make sense? So a shepherd will leave 99 sheep in the open country, not in his secure field, in the open country, to go after one. Which farmer in their right mind would jeopardize his entire flock, his livelihood, his future for one sheep? I mean, the last time I checked, sheep can breed, right? So is it really that serious? Just another one will come along. And then on top of that, after he was fortunate enough to recover this rogue, rebellious, wandering sheep, He then calls his friend and neighbors and tells them about the crazy decision he made. And he asks them to celebrate that one lost sheep that nearly cost him everything has been found. You know those moments where God saves you from a silly decision that you've made, and you do that quiet kind of thanksgiving testimony. You're like, thank you, Lord, you know, because more than anything, that would have been embarrassing. That, just me? Okay, that's fine. It happens to me quite a lot. You know, this is the complete opposite reaction that this shepherd gives. He shares with everybody that he has found that one lost sheep. Jesus uses this parable, as he does with all parables, as a way of communicating an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he gives understanding of this parable to those who are seeking after him. He reveals the truth of what he's saying to those who are willing to listen and thoughtfully consider the lessons that he is teaching. And to those who have a hard heart, he hides the meaning. He uses the shepherd and the lost sheep here in this story, in this parable, to show that God, the good shepherd, his desire for us is that we are found, rescued, and we are renewed. Especially for those who are undeserving. You know, God is willing to risk everything, to risk it all just for one lost sheep. And we are all that rogue, rebellious, wandering, troublesome lost sheep. And we cost God so much for him to chase us. It cost him his son. And that is sacrifice, not convenience. I'd like us to look at the main text now. And it was read to us earlier from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. It says, so be careful how you live. Do not live like people who aren't wise. Live like people who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. So don't be foolish. Instead, understand what the Lord wants. Just for a little bit of context here, Paul wrote this to the Christians in Ephesus. In fact, the book of Ephesians is split into three sections. The first section, chapter 1 to 3, tells the people of Ephesus about what God has done. It talks about our adoption as sons through Christ and our expected inheritance through the Holy Spirit. The second section of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and 5, tells us how to walk in this understanding. Paul tells us how to align ourselves with the blessing that is described in chapter 1 to 3. And finally, chapter 6 then tells us how to stand firm when we face hardships and trials. The book of Ephesians is so relevant to our world today because it shows us it shows us that the gospel is the only way society can truly be transformed. You know, all the problems that we see around us, poor leadership, racism, oppression, sexism, poverty, that is not the core problem. These things that we see are a result of the core problem. The problem is sin. So we can have new laws, we can have social justice, reforms, we can have movements, all the rest of it. But it's not what changes the heart of man. Ephesians helps us to understand what Jesus did and how we, as Christians, can live these things out so we can affect the culture in a world of sin. Okay, so what has all of this got to do with my iPhone, Samsung, Huawei, Nokia, whatever it is that you're holding? Well, it has everything to do with your phone. Our phones are such a significant part of our lives, maybe even more than we are conscious of. I rely on my phone for a lot of things, as I said earlier, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. So I'll tell you a bit of what I do on my phone. It's my alarm clock, so you know, it wakes me up in the morning at the right time. I check the weather on the phone to make sure I'm choosing appropriate clothing. I sometimes use the app for devotion and the Bible app as well. I check the bus time so I don't have to wait at the bus stop for too long, especially when it's cold. When I'm at work, I use the app to check what food they're serving in the canteen downstairs, because that's important. I use an app to see the photos of what Temelade does at nursery all day. I write our food shopping list on the notes on my phone. I pay bills with a banking app. I use WhatsApp and many, 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 many other things. Am I the only one who uses my phone to that level of use? No, okay, good. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. Well, in that case, well, can I see how many people use it for multiple things? Okay, good, excellent. So if we're using our phones so much, it plays a big part of the information that we receive and the information that we give. I want us to go back to the scripture in Ephesians now and look at it carefully. So, verse 15 again says, "So be very careful how you live. Do not live like people who aren't wise. Live like people who are wise." You would say to someone, "Be careful, that's hot." Or, "Be careful, mind your step. Be careful you don't fall." And what you're saying is, be mindful, be watchful, be alert that something doesn't cause you harm, doesn't cause you pain, or it doesn't go wrong. It's about the small details in what we're doing, being cautious of the small steps that we are taking. So before you forward that message on or make that statement on a phone call, think carefully. Is it edifying? Will it build the other person up in the Lord? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2 says this: "The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." The Message puts it this way: "Knowledge flows like spring water from the wise. Fools are leaky faucets, okay. Fools are a leaky toilet. Faucets. Tap. Oh, it's not a toilet. It's a tap. Okay. Dripping nonsense. Every text, every WhatsApp, every email that you write should be written as though the Holy Spirit is looking right over your shoulder, proofreading your message. Every conversation should be had as though the Holy Spirit was right there listening to every single word. Every social media post that you look at should be viewed with confidence, knowing that the Holy Spirit will not be grieved by its content. The second part of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 is still up on the screen. It says, "Do not live like people who aren't wise. Live like people who are wise." You know, wisdom doesn't refer to your something that's intellectual or even a vast knowledge about a specific area. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge that you have acquired. There's an old example which says, "Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to use it in a fruit salad." Although I have to say, if you're Nigerian, you probably would put it in a fruit salad, because we do all sorts of things. I can say that because I'm Nigerian, so it's fine. Okay. Biblically, there are different aspects of wisdom. So wisdom is the understanding of God's created order when you look at the book of Proverbs. When you look at Isaiah, wisdom refers to the political order. And Ephesians is encouraging us not to follow the wisdom of the world, not to get caught up in what we see or hear, not to simply seek comfort and convenience, but to live our lives for Him, seeking after Him in all that we do. Verse 16 says, make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. The New King James Version says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And again, the Message Version says, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. And Paul is saying, don't waste time. Don't procrastinate. You know, while we remain complacent and relaxed about what we know we should do, the enemy is making swift and calculated moves. He's creeping into our schools, into our colleges, into the minds of our children through social media and TV. So while we, as Christians, are taking things easy, the enemy is sowing discord amongst brothers and sisters, including the Church of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9 says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. You see, as Christians, we need to have good time management skills. It's not just a skill for the workplace. One characteristic of all our mobile phones is that it always wants you to respond now. And that's why you get notifications. That's why it pops up on your phone. It tells you something needs to be done. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing with us. He wants us to respond now as well. But we too easily ignore or dull his notification. Yet we respond to that call, that text message, that WhatsApp message or email immediately. Now, I have to admit, I'm one of those people who I don't really like notifications sitting on my phone, right? So even if I clear it and come back to it later, I just don't like that thing on the phone. I remember one day I looked at Pastor's phone and he had a notification for the number of emails that he had. And it was six figures. Oh my goodness. My brain was just fizzing because I didn't know what to do with that. How do you let your emails just keep going up and up and up? Sorry, it's a bit weird, I know. But, I just couldn't believe it. Clear it, you know, do something. Shut down your emails, I don't know. A survey was taken last year about how long we spend on our phone. And we spend 4.8 hours on our phones every single day. Yeah. So we really need to think about how we're spending our time, especially when it concerns our phones. We need to be deliberate in seizing every opportunity, not just for our benefit though, but for the glory of God. Verse 17 says this, so don't be foolish. Instead, understand what the Lord wants. Here, there is an inference here that the real wisdom is understanding what the Lord wants. Not just for you though, it's not just about you, for your family, for your business or the company that you work for your community, for your church, for your nation as a whole. And you know, the answer to these questions can be found when we seek him with all of our hearts. We can only truly come into understanding the Lord's will when it challenges us and changes our perspective. You need to get it, but you can't get it until it gets you. It's impossible to comprehend God's will unless God's will has grasped you and has made a difference in your life. And so we take every step we take it with him leading us, molding us, and changing us more and more into his son's image. You know, a mobile phone is a tool that makes our lives easier and more convenient. Yes, it's great for that, but it's important that we don't let it creep into our faith. If it's eating into the time you should be spending with God, it's a problem. If it's distracting you from the things you should be doing, you need to dial it back. Do you get it? Dial it back. Yeah? Yeah? I did good, yeah? Okay, thank you, thank you. I'm proud of that one. Yay! Thank you. I'll pay you later. If it's influencing your thoughts and beliefs, you need to do something about it. You know, we read stories in the Bible about how, you know, people turn away from God and make idols. And for some, honestly, in 2022, we have our own version of idols. And for some people, it's a mobile phone. Anything we rely on more than we rely on God is an idol. Finally, like in the parable of the lost sheep, God responds to us against all sense and logic. He gives us free will so we can choose him. He gives us freedom. No, he gives us wisdom so we can be humble. He gives us freedom so we can be his bondservant. In the same way, he gives us a mobile phone as another way of glorifying him and fulfilling our mandate on earth before we go on to glory. So as Ephesians instructs us, let us live like wise people. Make the most of every single opportunity and understand what the Lord wants.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.